Stay standing. Take your Bibles. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to read verses 10 through 13 together responsively. 2 Samuel 15, verses 10 through 13. I'll read and then we'll pray. We'll have a special and then I'll come back and preach this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verses 10 through 13. And let's again read this passage together responsively. 2 Samuel 15, verses 10 through 13. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "As soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gileonite, David's counselor from his city, even from Gilo, or whatever you want to call that, while he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. And there came a messenger to David, saying, The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom." And let's pray. Father, please, would you help us today? Lord, maybe one of the most important truths, apart from salvation, that I have preached is today. I pray that you'd help us to listen with an urgency, with a fervor to get the truth. And Lord, not just to hear it, not just to write it down, but to apply it in our life in each and every way, please, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Here is a very interesting passage, and I mean this, you young people, if you'll listen to me today, I could save you an awful lot of heartache, an awful lot of grief, and an awful lot of pain. Those of you younger families and middle-aged families, if you listen to me, I can help you. You older folks, I can help you. Say, what's older? At least over 50. No, you older folks, I really believe if everyone would listen today, I can help you. Absalom has decided to lead a civil war against his own father, David. He's trying to take over the kingdom and take it away from his dad. Absalom has been a rebellious, disloyal little brat and snot for a long time. But now he's actually starting a war. He's literally gathering people together to fight and to kill each other so that he can be the leader. I don't know anything much worse than that kind of disloyalty and that kind of treason. Can I tell you something? Absalom was not a good role model. By the way, Absalom was a very evil, very wicked, very vile man, and he was willing to kill family. He was willing to kill other people's families just to get power. Sounds like Hillary. He is actually getting families to fight amongst each other at war and kill one another so that he can be the king. Where did this evil, rebellious, treasonous plan get its footing? I realize it was conceived in the mind of Absalom, but one man could not do that by himself. He had to have others with him to make it work. Where did it actually take off? With whom did it take off? Absalom takes 200 men, and I love this statement. And by the way, listen to this very carefully. He says, verse 11, "And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called. They went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything." Can I tell you something? Anybody that's in rebellion, following somebody in rebellion, you're going either as a rebel or as a simple person, because a wise man will not follow disloyalty. Wise people won't follow evil. They were going in their simplicity. They were just, rah, 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 the gang's all here. Absalom said, go, let's go. They weren't thinking at all. They weren't following any principle. They were following the flesh. They were following their desires. They were looking at positions. They were looking at power. They weren't looking at truth. But wait a minute. The very next verse says it all. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel. Ahithophel. Ahithophel was one of David's trusted, wise counselors. This is one of the cabinet of King David. This is one of the men that has helped King David for probably 25 years or more run the nation of Israel as a counselor. Bible says later in chapter 15 that, and in chapter 16, that the counsel of Ahithophel was taken as though it came from the mouth of God. He was a very wise, well-known counselor. Absalom sends for Ahithophel and says, look, I'm about to take over. Why don't you come help me? And the Bible says, And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom, and Ahithophel left David to go counsel Absalom. Wow. I cannot imagine how badly David hurt. Not only was he watching his own son fight him, not only was he watching his own son try to take the kingdom away, not only was he watching families fighting with one another that he loved, that he was leading, but now one of his trusted counselors has decided, I helped build you as king, now I'm going to fight against you and kill you. I helped lovingly advise you, now I will hatefully try to advise against you. One who once counseled the king is now counseling Absalom to overthrow the king. Ahithophel was known as the David maker, so to speak. But Ahithophel went from the kingmaker to becoming the rebel enabler. He went from advising wisely to advising foolishly. He went from doing that which was right to going against right to do that which is evil. Huh. Everyone seeks counsel in life. Let me say that again. Every person seeks counsel in life. It may be medical counsel, financial counsel, educationally speaking. It could be health, it could be spiritual, it could be any area of life, but everybody gets counsel. The word counsel literally means advice. No one but God knows everything. Let me say that again. No one but God knows everything. Time our United States media understands that. Because people fail to get good, wise, godly advice, the world keeps making the same mistakes over and over and over and over again. Let me make this statement very boldly and very loudly. There is not weakness in seeking advice.
That's right.
There is weakness in not seeking advice.
Yes,
you don't go get advice because you're weak. You go get advice to keep from becoming weak. Man's sinful pride has caused him to think that he knows it all and that he doesn't need advice from anybody. He'll just figure it out. Can I tell you something? No one has traveled the road of life to the end and come back to live it. Not a one of us has traveled from when we were born to the end to find out where we're supposed to be, gone back and walked through life knowing what the end was.
Right.
Not a one of us. You don't know what lies ahead.
Right.
You don't know how frail life really is. Brother Barnes and I were out yesterday and he said, you know, we really don't realize how fast life could be over. What is your life? It's even as a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. There's a 45-year-old pastor building a great soul-winning work, and his life could be ending shortly. But who knows? As I was praying this morning for him, I said, God, I might get there before he does.
Right.
I love what he said to me this week. I said, Brother Rick, what can I do for you? He said, either pray for healing or the rapture. He said, I just don't want to hurt. I love it. But can I say something? None of us have gone to the end of life and come back to live through it. You don't know what the end is, therefore, you don't know where you're going. And may I say this, the less life you've traveled, the less you know about life.
Yes, sir.
I know a whole lot more at 50 than I did at 20. But at 20, I thought I knew more than everybody that was 50. Amen, Dad? I'm not afraid to say it. Young people have this mindset that, oh, I'll just figure it out as I get there. May I say something? That is a foolish way to live your life. Life is like traveling in a fog, unable to see very far ahead. You got to rely on the headlights and taillights ahead of you to get through it. What makes us think that we know how to face each and every step of our life without the knowledge of what it's going to be? Ahithophel at one time was a good counselor. He's now gotten caught up in the rebellion and disloyalty of Absalom and is now advising against the one he once loved and helped. Absalom, you may not be worth the hole in the ground to put your stinking carcass, but where you get your advice determines where you're going. Let me make this statement. That is a true statement for all of us. Where you get your advice will determine where you end up. Where you get your advice will determine where you end up. So, well, I just won't seek advice. God has something to say about that. I'm going to probably make this statement again later. Brother June, you touched on it without saying it exactly the way I'm going to say it. I almost thought, don't say it, but you were close this morning. Experience is not the best teacher. Somebody else's experience is.
That's good. That's true.
Yeah. Experience is not the best teacher.
Right.
Someone else's experience is. You know, I don't have to go get drunk to find out drunkenness is stupid. I can watch the stupid drunks going up and down the roads, throwing up, vomiting, and laying in their own barf and watching their families break up, their children turn out a mess, and watch all the financial problems they have because they can't stay away from a stupid bottle of alcohol. I can tell you something. I don't need to get that way to find out that's not the way I want to live.
Amen.
I don't have to pump drugs into my body to get high to say that's not the way I want to live. I watch what it does. I don't have to make the mistakes of my preceding generations if I'll learn from them. Experience is not the best teacher. Someone else's experience is. Now, listen to me very carefully. I'm going to give you probably 15 to 20 verses. I'm not going to have you turn in your Bibles. You'll never keep up with me. If you want to write them down as we go, you may. But I am not going to give them to you, but I want to give you about four things today, three or four things in about seeking counsel. I'm going to give you what God says, not what preacher says, not what some book says, not what some, what do you call those idiots, the shrink, psychologist, there we go, I was thinking of a couch. Why, I don't know, but I'm old enough to think the psychologist puts everybody on a couch. But may I say this, this didn't come from a Christian psychologist, and I'll show you why in a little while here. Number one, no counsel causes people to fall. The absence of or no counsel causes people to fall. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 14 says, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety.
I want you to notice it says where there is no counsel, it doesn't say a person falls. It says people fall. Plural. Your lack of getting advice will cause more than just you to fall in life. Let me say that again. Your not seeking counsel will cause more than just you to mess your own life up. You're going to mess other people's lives up as well. That word fall doesn't mean stumble and trip, like some of you going up the steps or down the steps or just walking across the floor. It's not like when you put bifocals on the first time, right, Mrs. Barnes? It doesn't mean that type of thing at all. The word fall literally means to die. Did you know that some people die because they don't seek advice? Go to the emergency room and find out how many druggies overdosed last night and died and didn't take the advice somebody gave them about not doing drugs. Right. I'm not talking spiritual advice. I'm talking health advice. How many people didn't listen that they're not supposed to drink alcohol and drive? And how many people crashed their cars and people died over this weekend over a stupid booze bottle because somebody wouldn't listen to good advice? People fall by not seeking counsel. The word fall means to fail. Did you know you're going to fail more if you don't seek counsel? Well, I'll just figure it all out. I'll get through it. You're a nincompoop. That's redneck for you ain't real bright. Can I tell you something? Why should you go through life making the same mistakes everybody else made? Did you ever notice every generation wants to reinvent the wheel? Did you ever notice fashion takes a big circle about every 15, 20 years? Say why? Because each generation wants to find something new, and it's nothing but the old, revamped. Hollywood can't even make any new movies. They're remaking all the old ones. Most of which aren't worth remaking, and they've remade them more evil than they were the first time. But they're not even coming out with new stuff. It's old ideas in a contemporary world. Fall means to be overwhelmed. Do you know why people live their life overwhelmed? Because they don't seek counsel. Do you know why people live overwhelmed? Because they get overwhelmed by not knowing what's coming because they won't get advice on how to fix something. And where you get your advice determines how you will end up. Businesses that get their business plan and their business advice in the wrong place don't generally make it very well. Well, I sought advice. You didn't seek it from successful people. You go to the backyard mechanic to get your car fixed who's got six broken down cars in the backyard that don't run, and you wonder why, when you did what he said, your car quit. Everybody doing all right? Get your advice from somebody that knows how to fix the car. Fall means to be overwhelmed, to die, to fail. It literally means to be overthrown. Did you know that you will allow people to overthrow you in life by not seeking counsel? Fall means inferior. I'm not going to take time to turn to these scriptures, but listen to this very carefully. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Everybody listen to me. I love y'all. But when you say, "I heard what the preacher said, but I just don't believe it. I've seen what other people do, and I'll do what they say over what the preacher says." The Bible says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. I am not God. I don't know everything. But I'll promise you this, I've dealt with more people than you've dealt with, helped more people with life situations than probably everybody in this room combined, and I think I know a little bit more about life than everybody, and if you listen to me, I can keep you from a lot of heartache.
Yeah. Amen. Yes, sir. That's good.
The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Well, I just don't see it that way. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. You haven't been down this road to see anything. You see the same thing 150,000 people that I've talked to that went down that road 25, 30 years before you have seen. But I've seen the end of it, and I know where it ends up. Listen every once in a while.
Amen.
Listen to somebody that's been down farther down the road.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Job 18:7, his own counsel shall cast him down. Our pride wants us to think, we can do this. I can get through this on my own. You don't know enough about it.
That's right.
My daughter was asking me a question about her college classes, and I said, I don't know. Why don't you call somebody that's already been through those? I said, why don't you call Josh? He'll know. He graduated by the hair of his chinny chin chin. No, he graduated. I said, he'll know the teachers. And he knows the topics because he's been through those. I said, I knew your teachers when they were students, not as teachers. She called her brother and got some advice. My advice to her was to find somebody that had been through it that understood it. Everybody see that?
Yes.
See, the preacher doesn't have the answer to everything, but he can help you find the right answer.
Amen.
Number two, I've got to hurry. Number one, no counsel or not getting any counsel causes people to fall. Number two, we should not get our counsel from the ungodly.
Right.
Right.
We should not get our counsel from the ungodly. Psalm 1, verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now listen to me very carefully. We don't need to be seeking advice from those trained by the ungodly, God-haters of this world. Now, I don't mean that you got to go to some place and if the mechanic at the shop isn't saved, that you won't go there because he's not a Christian. If he can fix your car, let him fix your car. But when it comes to life's advice, don't get your advice from the ungodly. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
I want to help you.
Amen.
I'm going to label myself real good and strong right here. If you're going to hang me, let me give you enough rope to hang me with. I don't believe that you ought to go to a Christian psychologist. Because they get their same psychology degree out of the same psychology books that the worldly psychologists get their degrees from.
That's right.
And I don't care if it's Pensacola or any other Christian college, it's the same psychology books.
Yes, sir.
So you shouldn't name names, okay? Don't do it. I will.
Amen.
I'm not afraid of it. Brother Mike, I get a little sick and tired of people saying, well, I need to go get professional help. I don't need the preacher's help. You don't hurt me personally, but you're slapping God right square in the face. I am not the greatest man of God on the face of the earth. I've not pastored as many people have pastored. But I promise you, I've counseled more people than everybody in this room combined has ever even thought about. Why do we want to go through James Dobson, what do they call his hope? Focus on the family. I call it hocus pocus on the family. James Dobson was a worldly psychologist who became a quote-unquote Christian, started his Christian counseling ministry in Colorado Springs, and of the $30 million complex that he has, $25 million of it was donated by the Catholic Church. Doesn't even believe in the King James Bible as the Word of God. You can believe anything. We're just going to use biblical principle anyway. It doesn't matter which one you use. That's a lie out of hell.
Right, that's right.
I'm talking about worldly therapy and addiction programs.
Okay. Don't get mad at me. But I'm for fixing up every old drunk. Amen, Brother Stoltz?
Amen.
I'm for it. Brother Mike, I'm for helping every old stinking sot laying in his vomit today. Can I tell you what he needs? He needs to get saved. He needs to get himself into church. Yes, needs to come to Sunday school, Sunday morning, amen. Sunday night church, Wednesday night church. Needs to start reading his Bible and praying, going soul winning. That'll clean him up faster than any 10-step program.
Yes, sir.
You put a bunch of drunks in a room talking about how tempted they are, and then they go out after the meeting and go get drunk together.
I'm not saying they don't do any good, but Jesus can do a whole lot better. God's program isn't everybody sitting in a circle telling about how bad they are. Oh, I got to confess how bad I've been. That's called gossip. Whether you're gossiping about yourself or somebody else's sin. Sitting there in a room telling everybody all your sin, that's a bunch of garbage.
Yes, sir.
It's not helping anybody. I'm talking about godless educators. Where you go to school determines the counsel you get. Be careful. I'm not saying if you go to a public university that you're a vile, evil person. But you are going to be influenced by godless teaching. Listen to me carefully. If you choose to go to one, you better get yourself in a good Bible preaching church and keep yourself locked and loaded, because they're going to draw you away. They're going to cast doubt on that book right there. They're going to cast doubt on your faith. The sodomites are going to influence you whether you know it or not. The liberal education of today is anti-God. They've taken truth out of it. Everybody doing all right? I'm not mad at anybody. I just need to warn you. By the way, it doesn't matter if it's public day school or high school or college or graduate school. It doesn't matter to me. The worldly philosophies of education today are drawing people away from God. And how in the world could Bernie Sanders almost make it as a candidate for president? A avowed communist. Because on our college campuses, they're teaching that capitalism is bad and communism is good.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And don't get mad at me. It started with my grandparents' generation and my parents' generation letting Fidel Castro and Stalin and all these guys come over in the 1950s and 1960s teaching in our college campuses. Franklin Roosevelt started rewriting history back in the 1930s during the Depression so that we could repeat history, but we could be the perpetrators of it instead of the object of it. They have dumbed down America's education so we can repeat it. We just want to be the bad guy instead of somebody else.
Okay, keep moving, preacher. I'll do it. We need to be careful of what books we read, what articles we read, and what we listen to.
The more news you listen to, the more counsel you're getting from the ungodly. I'm not saying live in a world where you don't listen to the news at all. You say, what do you believe about the news? The day. And sometimes they don't even get that right. I listen to the news, believe the opposite, and I'm probably pretty close to the truth. Be very cautious how much news you listen to and how much of it you really believe. Everybody doing all right?
I'm talking about be careful what preachers you listen to and what they're posing as is Christian preaching. If they're wrong on that book, you don't listen to them.
Amen.
If they write books that are wrong on that book, you don't listen to it and don't read it. I get books sent to me on a regular basis. People that know me and they've parted from me through the years. I got a book recently. I got to page 3. Brother Micah got so stinking mad. I started growling. My secretary came. She said, "Preacher, are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I got the page 3 of this book, and I got to go take it to the dumpster." I literally walked out of my office. I wrapped it up so nobody else would get to it, and walked to the dumpster and threw it away after 3 pages. It's supposed to be a Christian book. It was given to me by somebody that said, "Oh, this is a great book. It parallels the Bible. It just uses the wrong version." I got to the 3rd page, and it was teaching humanism. Say, how much more of it did you read? As I tossed it in the dumpster, not a word. Say, don't you feel bad about that? Not a bit. I'm not going to corrupt my mind with it. I'm talking about what music you listen to. What music you listen to counsels you.
Yes. Whether it be country western music. Well, it doesn't have a bad beat to it. No, but what immorality is it dealing with? Drinking beer, drinking wine, cheating on your wife or your husband. Bunch of ungodly mess. Sometimes country music's worse than rock music because you can actually understand the words. You know the joke. I've said it before. Back in the 70s, they had what they call backmasking. You could take a record. That's a CD on steroids, young people. And you could play it backwards, and they literally put messages backwards, and your mind could compute it forwards and backwards. And it was subliminally playing backwards things as well as forward. And they called it backmasking. Well, they decided to do that with country music, and they got their truck back, they got their car back, they got their dog back, they got their wife back. Country music's just as bad, and may I say this, contemporary Christian music, CCM music, is worse. The average Christian song written in the last 10 or 15 years is about as weak as a spaghetti noodle that's been overcooked. Doctrinally, it's deplorable. Be careful. We're not going to be playing CCM songs in our church. I have a little policy. Brother Stoltz and I have talked about it. We don't do any songs that aren't at least 25 years old. Say why? I want them being proven for decades. Yes, sir. Yeah. I want to prove what they are doctrinally first. There's some hymns in the hymn book I don't agree with. And we don't sing them. Now, just because we're not singing your favorite one means it's doctrinally wrong. Some of them we're just we've just got a routine that we're doing for right now. But may I say this? Be careful. The Bible says the counsel of the wicked is far from me. Job chapter 21 verse 16 and Job chapter 22 verse 18. The counsel of the wicked is far from me, God says. When you go to the ungodly for counsel, you're going against God. Everybody listen to this statement. Whether you want to believe this or not, God wins. Yes.
Amen.
It may not appear like it to you, but God wins and God knows what's best. Amen. Why do you want to listen to somebody going the opposite direction of God?
I got to hurry. Number 3. Where should we seek our counsel? Where should we get our counsel? God tells us to get counsel so that we can have wisdom. God, first of all, tells you to go get wisdom. Psalm 73, verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou may beest wise in thy latter end. God said, seek counsel. By the way, we've already seen where God says, don't seek it from yourself, because you don't know enough about it. God bless some of you older folks. You've lived a lot longer than some of you than I have. Some of you have seen more of life than I have in some areas, but not in other areas. Trust somebody that's seen it. Miss Wally gets a little amazed every once in a while because I've been in the hospitals and around sick people so much, I can pretty well diagnose before she can. I was out there cutting wood with Evan and Jimbo and Joe last year at their house. I pulled a limb down and it cracked me on top of the coconut. My head popped open and knocked me to my knees. I didn't cut myself with a chainsaw, at least. and I knew right away I had a concussion. I mean, everything started going... And I can hear Brother Barnes, "You're bleeding, preacher, you're bleeding." All right, how bad? Let me just get to where I can sit down and see straight, because all I see is yellow dots going right now. They walked me over, and I sat down. And they went, I said, "Go get Wally. I need to know if I need stitches. I already know I got a concussion. Just go get Wally. I need to find out if I need stitches." And she came out, and she's getting ready to ask me questions. I could see her mouth starting to open up. I said, "Wally, I've got this. I got this. I do this. This is what..." I said, "I know I got a concussion. Do I need stitches?" She said, "Shoot. I never saw anybody self-diagnosed like that." I went down the list. I knew what to look for, and I had all of it. As all I needed was my truck and my keys so I could go home. And somebody, I don't even remember who drove me home. Was it you? I don't even remember who drove me home. And she said, "You're not driving, though." I said, "Come on, these guys are, you're not driving." "Yeah, right." So I did obey in that area alone. Can I tell you something? You need advice. I've seen enough accidents. I've seen enough cancers and gizzards and back problems and bone problems and health problems, and counseled people through them, and heart surgeries, amen, and other issues. I pretty well kind of know the routine. I can walk in and look at the monitors and tell you what's going on. Blood pressure's good, blood pressure's bad. Pulse is good, pulse is bad. I can tell you what your oxygen levels are and what they should be and where they need to be. And I can look at all those machines and say, they're not doing real well. Or they're doing great. Don't you worry. I've learned those things. I've seen more of it than most humans outside the hospital world see. Why don't you learn to trust somebody that's been down that road of expertise a little while? Experience is not the best teacher. Someone else's experience is. And let me say this. I thank God, as a young man in my late 20s, I got to work for the great Dr. Jack Hiles when he was in his 70s. Say why? Brother June, I was sitting in a staff meeting one night, and he looked up and he said, "Fellas..." As a matter of fact, it was one of the first ones I was at. I was 29 years old. First staff meeting. "Craig, how old are you?" I said, 29. He said, "Wouldn't we all like to be? Now, how old are you?" I said, "I'm 29. He said, "No, you're not." I had to pull my driver's license out and prove to him I was 29 years old. He said, "Good night. I thought I hired a man, not a baby." No problem. Crack on me all you want. I'm not responding, amen. A couple staff meetings in one day, he looked up and he said, "Fellas," he said, "I almost envy you guys." One of the other fellows said, "Why?" He said, "I've made all my mistakes and I fixed them." He said, "You get to learn from all my mistakes and how to fix them. You don't have to make the mistakes I've made." You know, I was glad I worked under an older preacher that had been preaching for 50 years, who had made all the mistakes that pretty much so a pastor could make, and gotten through them and prevented a bunch of them. And I'd learned from his life and his mentoring how not to do some of those things. Why is it that we think we have to keep making the same mistake over and over and over and over and over again? Husbands and wives, why is it that you fight about the same thing all the time? Do you ever notice some people argue over the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again? Why don't you just avoid the topic? Why don't one of you decide it's not worth fussing over? Okay, moving on. We went from preaching to meddling. God tells us to get counsel so we can get wisdom. Experience is not the best teacher. Someone else's experience is. We get counsel from God and His Word. We get counsel from God and His Word. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. "And His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Amen. One of His names is Counselor. Jeremiah 32, verses 18 and 19. "The great and mighty God, the Lord of hosts is His name. Great in counsel and mighty in work." Great in counsel, mighty in work. Proverbs 8:14, counsel is mine. Sound wisdom is mine. I am understanding. I have strength. Psalm 107, verse 11, because thou hast rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Can I tell you something?
The God that made the universe, the God that made man's body, the God that made life that we have and everything that is here has better advice than any stupid Al Gore.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That's right. Amen.
Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
The green people. Oh, we're going to burn the earth up. If everything Al Gore said 20 years ago came true, we shouldn't all be here today. Matter of fact, nothing he said in his first book came true. Nothing. You know, we have senators that really believe that the earth, the land masses are floating. One of them said, oh, we have to control the population on this certain island because if too many people are on the island, we're afraid the island is going to flip over into the ocean. And they go, they're congressmen. These are people that we have elected to office. Everybody doing okay? I trust God over those people any day. The world, by the way, that came from evolution, which is an anti-God religion. You didn't evolve from a monkey. We get counsel from God's man. Listen to me very carefully here. I am not tooting my own horn. I'm not looking for business. I don't accept anything but my paycheck to counsel people. You're not going to pay me for my advice. But listen to me very carefully. I am not a dictator. Oh, Christianity. Nothing but a cult. Man, have I heard that a million times in my life, Brother June. Oh, that preacher's all he wants to do is tell everybody what to do. He thinks he's God. No, we don't. But listen to me very carefully. God's man has spent his life helping people apply God's principles to life situations. Because of this, he sees life more as God sees it than the average person. I am not asking to be dictator, but may I say this, if you come get my advice, I can keep you from making as bad of decisions or confirm you're making good ones. You make $500 a week and your mortgage is $1,000 a month and you want to go out and buy a brand new $150,000 car, I'm probably going to say that's not a good thing for you to do. Because you don't have the finances to pay for it. Because in 3 months you're going to turn it back and ruin your credit. But I want... but what you want and what's right is two different things. Just ask for general advice. Good night, I have people that ask me to go look at a house that they might buy. I get... I stay up with things. I am not a know-it-all. Some of you think I think that, but I am not. But I promise you one thing, I have worked with hundreds of thousands and literally millions of people helping them make decisions in life. I think I have a little bit of sense in that finger to help you. I was talking with someone in this room just recently. They're facing another difficult situation in a time of life. And all I did was offer just a little advice. I asked some questions and then offered just a little advice, opened the door to where they're saying, thank you for helping me. Say why? They've not been down that road. I've been down that road hundreds of times. Hundreds of times. Young people, listen to me. I think I know more about high school and college and what comes thereafter than you do because you haven't even got through it yet. I think I know a little bit about even some of you men in the job world. Now, I'm not the expert in your field. I'll promise you that. But I'll help you find the one that is to get the answers that you need if you need to. If you have a problem with your car and you call me, I'll give you the best mechanics in the area to help you.
but I'm not going to go out there and fix your car. Because you'll owe the mechanic more money than you did prior to me fixing your car. Amen, Brother Jimbo? I'm not one of those guys. But may I say this, God gives his man the right answers to your need.
Brother Brian, I was a freshman in college. I got to go on a preaching trip with one of my teachers at college. He was an old guy. His name was Dr. Carl Laurent. He said, I got to go preach in Michigan, Craig. He said, you got a car. He said, how'd you like to take the weekend and go with me? He said, we'll stay in a hotel together. I'll preach Sunday morning, Sunday night. We'll come back. I said, man, who wouldn't want to spend time with an old preacher if you're going to be a preacher? I got to drive him to Michigan, and he was preaching. We had just crossed out of Indiana into Michigan, just above LaPorte and in that area there. Dr. Laurent looked at me. I was in my 1981 Ford Escort, 4-speed, amen? We were both crammed in there. He said, Brother Craig, he said, you believe God would give the man of God the right answer to your question if you asked him the question? I said, I do. He said, so you believe if you seek advice, God will give your counselor the right answer to your problem? I said, yes, sir. He said, looks like you never have to make a bad decision in life if you keep seeking counsel. He said, you just better make sure you get it from a godly man. You better make sure they walk with God, because if not, they're going to give you bad advice.
He changed the subject. I've never forgotten that. Never one time. One of the roles as pastor is counselor. One of the things I do is help people, give them advice. And I've been doing it full time for almost 30 years. 28 years-ish. Can I tell you something? I'm just going to go ahead and say it.
Why in the world do we want to call all over the country to get our advice when you can get it here?
I think you ought to go to your shepherd. You know, if a sheep in a flock in Wyoming has a problem with the shepherd, they don't call a shepherd in Texas to find out what needs done. God gave you that wisdom there for a reason. Godly friends are a good place for you to get godly counsel. Matthew 28:12, they took sweet counsel together. Proverbs 27:9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. But may I say this, if a friend's counsel goes against the word of God or the man of God, your friend is not giving you good advice.
Yes, sir.
Good. And let me just go ahead and say this. This is gonna hair lip some of you. A real friend's gonna tell you the truth whether you like it or not. Brother Stoltz, I love you, but I'll tell you the truth, whether it helps you or whether it hurts you. You say, why? Because the truth is the truth. I may try to do it in a nicer way so I don't hurt you as bad, but I'm still going to tell you what the truth is.
Real friends tell you the truth and tell you what's best, not what you want to hear. Now listen to this statement. The purpose of seeking counsel isn't going person to 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 find out somebody that agrees with you. Because you look long enough, you'll find somebody that agrees with you. Everybody doing all right? Well, I don't want to go see the preacher. I already know what he's going to say. That means you're going to go find somebody that agrees with you and you're not going to listen to what the Word of God says. Everybody doing all right? The purpose of counsel is not to get everyone you can find to tell you something that you want to hear. Because you'll find somebody. The purpose of counsel is to make wise decisions and not hurt many people, including yourself, and cause them to fall because of your own stinking, sinful pride. I'm trying to save your neck and other people's lives. I'm trying to keep you from being overwhelmed in life. I'm trying to keep you from falling in life and failing in life. I'm trying to keep some of you from dying in life. Where you seek counsel will determine where you end up. Whether you become an Absalom, an Ahithophel, or a David. I don't know about you, I'd rather be David than Absalom. By the way,
Absalom's hippie hair caused him to die. He had long, flowing hippie hair riding through the trees. And the boughs of the trees were hanging low, and as he went up and the mule went down, his hair got caught in the trees and the mule walked on. And he was hanging by his hair. Joab came and took three darts and threw three darts into his heart and killed him. Hanging by his hippie hair, his rebellion. By the way, do you know what happened to Ahithophel? Ahithophel found out David was against him, went home, put his house in order, went out and hanged himself and killed himself, committed suicide. Huh. Most of us don't look at the end. Talk to somebody that's seen the end of it so many times. I am not sinless. I don't know it all. I am not God. There's no nail prints. But why don't you listen to somebody that's been down the road with enough people that have been down the road to know what's going on? That uses that book to try to help people with their problems, not psychology. Psychology will tell you, that's your friend, he's power of positive thinking. Oh, we're going to ask God to heal him, but if God takes him home to glory, God still healed him. Well, it's not fair. I'm not God. How do I judge what's fair and what's not? I'm not here to judge it. I'm just here to apply that book to everybody's life and everybody's situation to help you get through. And I don't care what it was. Divorce, growing up without your parents. You want to go through it, we'll go through it. Very few things you could have in your life I have not yet seen. But can I tell you something? Where you get your counsel determines where you're going to end up. Where you get your counsel determines where you'll end up. Let's seek wise counsel. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I'm sorry I took a little extra time, but I felt it necessary and needful. Who would say, preacher? Somewhere inside that sermon was something that I personally needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Lots of hands. Who would say, preacher? If I die today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I know that. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put them down. If you've been saved, never baptized, we could care for it today. Saved and baptized, like to join our church? We'd love to have you. Maybe you just need to kneel at an old-fashioned altar and ask God for good godly advice and good godly wisdom and begin to seek it and do what they say.